time is it? And, you know, it seems a bit of an odd question to start your preaching. What time is it? Most of you will say it's about 25 to 12. Both Eva and Peter now wear watches. They're particularly good at telling us the time. They're always keen on telling us what time it is. Peter's especially good at telling us that it's time for us all to get up. He's a bit of an early person. He likes getting up in the morning early, and he's good coming in telling us that we should have been up by now. That's something he's good at doing. So what time is it? Okay, I'll try a different question. What's the season we're in? I think that's an important question. You say, well, it's spring. You can see the bud bursting, the birds are nesting and doing well. But again, this is not really what I'm asking. I'm asking, with this question, where are we in the history of mankind and the world as explained by the Bible? And of course, this is a different question entirely. What time is it? And really interestingly, in many of the stories and parables that Jesus gave to his followers, he talks about the time. He talks about the season. And at times he warns his hearers and he says, be aware of the season that we are in. Know what the time is. Do not ignore the time. And we also see in some of the New Testament letters that there's a similar message with things like be alert, be aware of the time and the season. So today I'm going to want to bring a bit of insight from the Word of God to this pandemic that we're in, and understand what the Bible says about events like this and how we should respond. I mean, this COVID-19 pandemic, this crisis, is, you know, it's a world-changing event which will affect how we live for many years to come. And it will be remembered for decades as an event that shocked, and changed the whole world. As we've seen our government struggle to deal with it, all governments around the world have struggled to deal with it in reality, such has been the pace and speed of how fast it has spread. And measures unthinkable just a few months ago are now adopted practice as governments balance public health and economic health. It's fascinating watching how this virus has swept around the world like a flood, and virtually every nation has or will be affected, with hundreds of thousands of people tragically losing their lives and millions losing their livelihoods as a result. You know, it's not possible to underestimate the impact across the whole globe of this event. And just Friday, just gone, we remembered VE Day, and we, with our neighbours, sang We'll Meet Again at our Friday night, at our evening disco. This is a little remembrance of VE Day. And it brought again into focus another world-shaking and world-changing event. So 75 years on from the day when Nazi Germany was defeated and the war ended in Europe, it was a moment of thankfulness to remember that day. And it was also a moment of sadness as we remember the millions of men and women who gave up their tomorrow for our today, fighting on all sides in the conflict. And it, in many ways, has been an event. Those years of war has defined the last 75 years in many ways. Like many of us in the church, my grandfather served in the Second World War, and he was a chaplain in the RAF, and he served a Typhoon Squadron. And I've got a picture here, hopefully you can now see that, of the two candlesticks he used when on active service, taking services for airmen during the war, and those who are risking their lives, and many of whom didn't return home. And these are the actual candlesticks he used to take those services. And I've also got another couple of pictures I want to show you, which this is a, and then just need to take a time to look at the wording. This is the order of service from a service of thanksgiving and prayer that my grandfather attended on the 15th of May 1945, just after the war had ended, to celebrate in thankful appreciation of all that has been done by the Allied forces and the deliverance from our enemies. And he attended this service, and I think he was part of it, and it was in Amsterdam, so it's in Dutch and in English. And my father has kept this, and it's in pretty, you know, kept it all these years, and it's great. I didn't know either of my grandfathers, and so it's nice to be able to see things which they were involved in. and then go on to the next page. This is a picture from inside it, and you can see the words are in both English and in Dutch. And I understand it's old Dutch, so it's been told to me, but you can see the hymns and the psalms and the readings that they had for that service of thanksgiving. And so as we remember that, we can remember what with thankfulness how people served us, but we also know that that also was such a massive, world-changing, shaking event. So I want to turn to the Bible now, and if you have a Bible close by, if you can turn to Matthew 24, and I'm going to read the first 14 verses of Matthew 24. And this is Jesus talking with his disciples. And I'm going to read the 14 verses. Matthew 24, verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him and called his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, when will this happen, and what will be the end of your coming, and the end, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these things are beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved, and the gospel of this kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. Jesus speaking to his disciples in this time, in sort of very straight, Jesus is so straight and to the point, yet gives us such amazing insight and such mystery in what he says in many ways. But there's so many important things in these verses, and I'm just going to pick out a few things. So, a sign of the times. What we are experiencing in this crisis, I believe, is a birth pain. And Jesus said in verse 8 of chapter 24, all these things are the beginning of birth pains. This is a birth pain. It is so significant, it has to fall into this category. The world is shaking, and Jesus says so clearly that these things will happen, and we must be aware of it. This event, like World War II, which finished 75 years ago, like the Spanish flu epidemic, which killed 40 million people worldwide, and World War I, both a century ago, they are the same. These are birth pains. They show us that this is a season, a period of history since the ascension of Jesus, which will come to an end. And it's fascinating that Jesus calls them birth pains, because as those who have given birth know, and not too recently, the new mums recently, you know this too well. Once the pain of labour starts, there's no going back. You are going to have that baby one way or another, whether you like it or not. It's going to happen. The clock is ticking until it is born. There is no turning back. And it is the same for this world. The clock is ticking. There is no turning back. These birth pains, this crisis that we are experiencing, is a sign of the times, that we are moving towards the time when Jesus returns for his bride, the church, when he gathers his people, and we are caught up in the marriage supper of the Lamb as he is united with his church. And we need to realize this about this event, I believe, that we are all living through. This is shaking our way of life, and we'll change it. Life will not be the same. It is a sign. It is not a sign that the end has come, but a sign that one day it will. And I want you to think of it in this context. It is a birth pain that the whole world is experiencing, a collective worldwide groan caused by the pain of this virus. And Jesus said that these things would happen. He knew and he saw this coming, and he is not surprised, nor is he scared by it. So I appreciate what I'm saying can be unsettling. So I'm going to give you a couple of do nots. It's not really something I focus on when I preach do nots, but I think these do nots are really helpful. The first is do not fear. The most common command in the Bible is not to tithe or to attend church or preach the gospel. The most common command is do not fear. Do not fear. Jesus is saying this to us today. Do not fear. He knows what's happening. And he is still Lord. He knows about the people who are passing away. And he is still Lord despite this. He says, do not fear. So remember this truth and encouragement. Do not fear. What we're going through is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. And there'll be months and maybe years of change before it's totally under control. But Jesus promise us peace despite our circumstances and our difficulty, and he is right with us and says to each of us, do not fear, I am with you. The second do not I want to bring to attention is this: do not proclaim this event as a judgment on mankind. And Christians can do this quite easily, taking verses in isolation and shaping this crisis around it, saying it's a judgment and punishment against mankind. And I want us to be wary of making such bold statements. Firstly, I'd encourage you to leave judgment to Jesus. He is the righteous judge, and he will judge us all. And a pandemic is a consequence of mankind in many ways. You know, sickness is a fruit of a fallen world, which affects both Christians and people who don't yet believe in Jesus. And as soon as we say that it's a judgment, we can find everyone who has suffered as being under God's judgment. Now, Jesus said in John 12:47, I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. This is a time of salvation. Judgment will come, but not yet. This birth pain is showing us that a time is coming, but we are not there yet. So the second thing about the sign of the times I want to say is this. This is a time of salvation. In the last of those verses, that last verse I read in Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. As a testimony to all nations. You see, not only as we read of trials and tribulations throughout the Bible, but there are other verses and other promises I want to shape our thinking. And this is that I want to shape our thinking this time. And this is such an important one. Habakkuk 2:14 says this: the glory of God will cover the earth as waters cover the sea. We can expect a mighty and continuous salvation of people in response to the gospel in this time. In response to the gospel in this time. See, this is a time of worldwide evangelism. And every nation, Jesus said, every nation will hear the gospel. And this gospel bears fruit. It's not an empty gospel, but full of power. Power to save in the name of Jesus. So as it is preached to the whole world, people from every nation, I love that, all nations, will turn and receive Jesus and the kingdom will come. There's another amazing couple of verses in Isaiah chapter 2, which I love, that says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised up above the hills and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his way so that we will walk in his paths. All mountains that we see around us at the moment of our society and culture, all normality is shaking. But you know what? The Lord's mountain will never be shaken. And it will rise up in these days and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And that is so important that we see this. This is the time of salvation. Is a time of gospel advance. Now I want to show you a video clip, and this is by a guy called Pete Gregg, who many people would have heard of. He's shaped my thinking quite a lot over the last year or two since I read his book, Dirty Glory. And I've actually given that book to a number of copies of that book to a few people in the church and encouraged them to read it. If you've got a copy that I've handed out and you haven't read it, read it and then pass it on. If you've read it, please pass it on because it's such a good book. But he's for Spring Harvest this year, which is a Christian UK Christian event that had to go online. He did some daily devotionals, and we've been using them in our hub. And I just want to show a couple of minutes of one of Pete Gregg, just explaining something relevant to what I've said. So let's just watch this just for a couple of minutes. Wow, hope that came through to you. I feel that's such an, you know, real provocation for us to pray, to see what God would do. Now, the Bible's really clear about this season. This is a season of salvation and increasing the kingdom of God. You know, it will grow and not diminish. And despite the world shaking, the kingdom of God will not shake. It is unshakable. Hebrews says we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And as everything shakes around us and towers like that tumbles like the Tower of Babel, the temple of the Lord will rise up and not shake. So go back to my original question. What time is it? It is a time of shaking, yeah. There are birth pains, yes, this is what we're going through, but it is a time of salvation, and we need to pray that Jesus would pour out the Holy Spirit in great abundance in our streets, our communities, our region, this nation, and the whole world, that thousands of people will be saved through this time. And this season will not be remembered in eternity for a virus, but for the thousands who receive Jesus. That is my prayer. And I believe that is a prayer that we can and should be praying. Now, I want to share another video, and many of you will see this, but I think it really sums up where we are at this time. And this is the blessing, which has been brought together just the last few weeks and watched many, many times on YouTube now. And I'm going to play it. It's a collection of different churches around Britain who've come together to record this. And it's not just a nice recording. I think it could be easy just to see it as a nice recording, but it's something prophetic about the church blessing the nation and asking for the blessing of God to come on our nation at this time. So we're going to watch it. It's about 5 or 6 minutes long.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face blessing. Manna rained down from heaven. This isn't second guessing. We know that we are protected. May the peace that surpasses all understanding be our message. Grace and favors in your nature, in your essence.
His favor be upon you and a thousand generations,
and your family, and your children,
and the children, and the children. His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.
Say, I feel that is such a prophetic song over this nation, as we as the church are to bring God's blessing and to see God's blessing on our nation, on our region, on our city and community. It's such a great thing. It doesn't get old watching that. It comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 and 25 and 26.